Good morning. God bless you. Let's take our Bibles and go to Ephesians chapter 6. In less than 30 days, we're going to have another very wonderful weekend together. A great time of enjoying the presence of one another and the sweet time of fellowship. For many who've not been, don't have the blessing of being with us every Sunday, weekly, our fellowship with like-minded, mature, believing ones. And there are some of us that do not even have a fellowship that you can attend to keep you filled with zeal like perhaps you had years ago. And I think it's important that we have these gatherings together and keep that youthful zeal for the things of God that we have seen in our lives, because it's not age that gets you less zealous. We go through an aging process, and that may have an effect on our youthfulness, but and how it affects our lives, but we should never lose the effect of our zeal for the things of God. As mature believing ones in the household of God, and when I say household, I mean all of God's children everywhere, regardless of race, regardless of everything else, male, female, all those other things. It's just every believer, whether you came out of a Judean background or you were of a Gentile background, everybody who's confessed Jesus as their Lord. We still have a responsibility to see that the things we have learned, received, heard, and seen continue to the next generation, and also making it available for the generations to follow. This is a great responsibility. Our world becomes darker and darker, but our lives should become lighter and lighter. We are constantly bombarded to accepting and recognizing or not counting people's sin. Not that we're out to look for sin, but people sin and then they want to legitimize their sin and their sinfulness and get us to agree with it. Well, I'm not looking to find sin in people's lives, but I do not agree with a lot of the things that are taught. Remember, the law is for the lawless, and that's basically where our country is going, where we do what we feel rather than what is right and what is truth. It's clear the unbelief of the world does wear us down. But as we are worn down by the lies, the deceit, and sinfulness of men and of evil ones, how will our children fare without a foundation? You and I have deliberately chosen to build in our lives a systematic knowledge of the truth, a deep, strong foundation in our lives of God first, God always. How will our children be able to do this if we do not stand and communicate the things we have learned and received and heard and seen from the greatness of the Word of God that has been taught to us? We need to see that it does continue. We need to instruct our children, our grandchildren, to see that that foundation remains. If we lose the foundation, and if we lose the zeal for the things of God, then it will be very difficult for our children to discover again. I know it's not easy in the world, but we can reinforce and reinvigorate ourselves by the Word of God. This only came by our purposeful stand on the Scriptures, our fellowship with like-minded believers, and our commitment to also minister the truth to other people. I remember a long time ago sitting at a campfire with one of our leaders, and we had a blazing burning fire there that reflected the light, reflected in the faces of everyone, and we sang hymns together, and we were enjoying a wonderful evening. And it was a wonderful time together. And our leader had spoken about being like-minded. And he likened our burning zeal to the flame that was coming from the campfire. And slowly he began to separate the logs one from another. And in a short time, not too long, we noticed, which we didn't notice at first, but the campfire started to go out. And the further the logs were separated until finally the fire went completely out. We need to fellowship with like-minded believers. We need to take time to get with like-minded believers. Like I say, many of our people who are a part of Beloved of God Ministries or seek the teachings from Beloved of God Ministries are by themselves somewhere. We need to get together. As a matter of fact, in Hebrews, it says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, and more as we see that day approach. It should not get less for us. I know there's been a lot of hurt. I know there's been a lot of confusion and other things, but we should not allow not only our sins, but other people's sins to direct us away from the Word of God and assembling ourselves as like-minded believers around the truth of the Word. We should not cease things because so-and-so did those things and I don't like so-and-so anymore, so I'm not going to do those things. There are things that the Scriptures tell us to do. It tells us that we should sing hymns. We ought to sing hymns. We ought to get together and sing hymns. We ought to pray. We ought to share of our abundance. We ought to share the Scriptures and share the Word. These are things that we're directed by the Word. We ought to minister the Word. We still have the ministry of reconciliation, and the Word of reconciliation has been committed to us, whether we belong to a group or don't belong to a group, it's been committed to us. We ought to be zealous about the things of God and not get absorbed into the world, which I know you can, whether it's by work, and then while we're at work, we hear the talk around the water cooler or what the training room or the lunchroom or whatever, and we get further and further into the world. Who's mad about this? Who's happy about that? But still has nothing to do with the Word of God. That's where our lives are to be focused. God has called us to be ministers of the ministry of reconciliation. God has called us to minister His Word to people. That is our life. Everything else is corollary to it. That is our life. And many of us have made commitments and vows to God that we were going to do something. And because we're no longer part of a ministry or something like that, doesn't absolve us from the vow we made to God. And we ought to remain zealous about the things of God and really enjoy that zealous fervor for the things of God. Well, with the campfire, we sat there so long, we sat there in darkness, and coldness of the evening caught up to us, and it was very a clear lesson as we wandered out in the darkness, how very important it is to purposefully keep the Word burning in our lives. In Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 10, it tells us, finally, my brethren, or in summation, considering all these things put together, finally, my brethren, be strong in the world. Be strong in what? Our politics. Be strong in the things that we believe. No, it tells us be strong in the Lord. Now, I trust that many of the things we believe is the word of the Lord. But be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, because his might is prevailing. It is a prevailing might. And his power, the power of his might, is a prevailing power. And that's what gives us our great strength. It doesn't set an age limit. Do this at least until you retire. Or do this until you hit 65. Do this until you... No, it says it doesn't set an age limit. Be strong in the Lord in every phase of life. I realize there are phases of life that perhaps are recognized that may not correspond with age. But regardless of whatever the phase of life is, be strong in the Lord. Be strong to speak the word. Be strong in his word. Be strong to live the word. We can be strong at any age, and this is what we can show our children and our grandchildren, that they delight that we are so strong in God and the things of God, that they see the joy in which we live, that we bear witness of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is within you. We're not waiting for the kingdom of God. We're waiting for the gathering together, yes, but we're not waiting for the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is in you. Show it. Be ministers of the ministry of reconciliation with great joy and enthusiasm, and maintain that zeal that we have. One of the words that's set forth in the word is to be encouraged and to decide to be strong. Let's go to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 30. I want to show this to you, this record here. First Samuel 30. That's where I wanted to go. And this is perhaps a familiar record. We've covered it before. We've covered a lot of records before, but it's time to relook at this. Because I understand that times get tough and things happen. But that should not dissuade us from the Word of God. It should make us cling to the Word of God even more. This is a record where David had taken his soldiers when he was being... chased by Saul all around, had taken his soldiers and was with the Philistines and staying with the Philistines at that particular time. And their families were all in Ziklag, the city of Ziklag. It says in chapter 30, we'll start in verse 1, "And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives," that's their wives and their daughters, "that were therein, and they slew not any, neither great or small, but carried them away and went on their way." I guess they were into human trafficking or something, whatever. But so David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Here they are approaching Ziklag, and in the distance they can see everything that they had earned, everything they had put together, everything that was of value was up in smoke. They could see it. They could see the smoke billowing from the city, representing everything that they held dear now was up in smoke. "Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved. Well, you could see why. Here they had everything that was of value, and they've been following David and hearing him share the word and how wonderful God is and all this stuff. But an enemy had attacked their city, and it looked like everything had gone up in smoke. And David was greatly distressed because they were ready to kill him. All the people was grieved, every man for his sons and daughters, but David encouraged himself, where?
In the Lord.
He sought the Lord for this particular situation. It was such a grievous time for everyone. The word encouraged means to become valiant, to gird the loins. In other words, David decided he was going to be strong in the word of God. He remembered God's promises. He remembered what God had told him, and he said, we're not seeing it come to pass now. I am going to see this thing come to pass if I got to drag it over the finish line myself. I am going to see this promise of God, that the things that God told us, the blessings God told us we would have, we are going to see that, and that's it. And I'm going to encourage myself, because it looks so terrible. It looks like everything is collapsing out there, and I am just determined. God's word is true. God is absolutely faithful, and I don't care what the heck is going on. I don't care what the heck we've been through. The word of God is going to come to pass. And he encouraged himself in the Lord God. Well, how did he encourage himself? Well, through the scriptures. He just kept bringing back to mind all the things that God had promised, all the things that God had told Joshua, all the things that God had told Moses, all the things that God had told other men of God, all the things that he sat and talked with Samuel about, all of these wonderful truths and how faithful God is and how loving God is, until it was an absolute reality in the depth of his soul. He would not allow it to fade. He would not retreat from one of the promises of God. He just determined, it is going to come to pass because God said it is going to come to pass. We are going to have a blessed life, and I am going to live a blessed life. This is something that has happened, but it will not stand, because God's word is going to prevail, because we have a God that loves us. We know and believe the love God has for us, and we are going to see it come to pass. I do not care what people say or the odds makers say are in our favor or against us. That doesn't matter. I know God is for us. Who can
be against us?
There you go. Well, the thing was, they went out, they found the Amalekites, and they chased them, and they got every single thing back. When they were approaching the city and they saw it up in smoke and they knew what had happened, I'm sure they feared that their children, their wives, their sons, and their daughters were dead or destroyed somehow. But you know what? They got everything back. Why? Because God is a restorer. And they were going to get everything back. And not only did they get everything back, but they also got everything the Amalekites had that they had stolen from them. And I want to read you the next chapter. It goes on. But is it the next chapter? Let's see.
Verse 18.
No, but it goes on to say, and then two days, the Philistines killed Saul and Jonathan. 2 days later, and David became the king of Israel. Here you had a situation that looked like everything was lost, and within 48 hours, not only did they get everything back and everything the Amalekites had, David was made king of Israel. God can turn things around in a hurry, but we need to encourage ourselves with the word. And we need to get encouraged by the truth of the word and get ourselves zealous again for the word and the things of God. We have a great weekend coming up so that we can be ablaze with the things of God. What would you like to be strengthened in? A nagging illness or a physical problem being resolved? Then prepare yourself for that. When you come to the weekend, be prepared, because we are going to be encouraged in the word. Be prepared. Prepare your heart to believe. Prepare your heart to trust. This weekend, that illness, that physical problem is going to be resolved. Because I believe the promise of God. I believe the word will come to pass, and we are going to get to it. An area you perhaps need of deliverance. This weekend, when we get together with like-minded believing, we are going, prepare yourself that is going to happen. An answer on something that perhaps you have thought about and thought about and thought about and thought about. This weekend, it will be resolved. Perhaps before, that's fine with me. But you are going to have the solution by the end of that weekend. Determine, encourage yourself, seek the Lord, prepare yourself for victory. Or a financial situation you need God to resolve. Prepare yourself to see it. One way is by our prayers. You know, Jesus Christ, it says, got up early in the morning and went out to a private place and there prayed. He prayed all night when he had to make big decisions. Now you think Jesus is just saying, okay, God can do it. That's it. Let's go. But he prayed all night when he was determining who would be among the apostles. He spent the night in prayer. You have a big decision. Well, if you've got a big decision, we've got 30 days to work on it. Less than 30 days to work on it. Because it needs to be resolved. Determine that you're going to be delivered. Look at Hebrews 11. This great record. I know that's a topic we taught, determined for deliverance, but I want to remind you of it because make that determination. How soon can you have the promises of God? When will they be available? They are currently available. They're always available. When do you want it?
Right now.
Well, Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, without believing, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. The word rewarder is also the word to restore. He's a restorer. Or he makes a recompense. How's that? He'll bring the promise back to its rightful owner. And that promise is his word to you and you are the rightful owner of that promise. He will bring it back to you if it has escaped from you or has been stolen from you. He will restore it back to you. He will recompense you. He will bring it back to the rightful owner. Come, be restored and rewarded. Because you believe he is. Get rid of any doubt that God doesn't care about you or doesn't hear you or you did something or you, whatever it is, get rid of that. You got from now until the weekend, if we want to see it come to pass by this weekend. I am absolutely convinced that God will meet your need because that is exactly what he said and he will do it. He will not fail you. Don't let yourself be talked out of the promises of God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a restorer to them that diligently seek him. Seek him out. Diligently seek him out. I know I've seen people on my way into work that are 5 minutes late from work, and they will almost kill you trying to get to work so that they're not late. That's what they'll do for money. A lot of other things that we do. Why don't we have that same zeal for the things of God? That we are going to get to it. I'm not saying put somebody in danger. But we ought to get to the things of God. We ought to have that burning, fiery zeal because there's no reason to quit. The Word of God is still faithful and God is still there. He who comes to God has to believe he is, not he was. He is present day, right now, this moment. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And you know how to seek him. We seek him in prayer. We seek him through reading the scriptures. We seek him by running the scriptures through our minds. We seek him by speaking the word with boldness and confidence. We seek him out by getting a vision for our lives as important ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. We've not been fired off our job. We are still all of those things. Get determined for your deliverance now. Let the scriptures convince you that God will deliver you, that God has forgiven you for the sins of the past, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Prepare yourself for deliverance. Set your mind to it. God is good to his word. He is absolutely reliable. Look at 2 Chronicles. I want to show you another one. Because I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. Excuse me. He is our wonderful, loving, heavenly Father, and he is worthy of our praise. In 2 Chronicles 30, they had done a lot of the work of getting people back to the Word. Hezekiah did a tremendous job, and God was delighted that the people had come back. They were preparing themselves, I believe it was for the Passover. And a lot of the people had been unclean for the Passover. Remember, you had to go get rid of all the leaven and you had to clean the house and you had to do all these different things. And they hadn't had a Passover celebration among the children of Israel for quite a period of time because they were so missed so many different things. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 18, It says, for the multitude of the people, even many of Ephraim, and they had been in captivity and weren't allowed to do a lot of the different things in order to celebrate the Passover. For a multitude of the people, even many from Ephraim and from Manasseh, Issachar and Zebulun had not cleansed themselves yet did they eat the Passover otherwise than it was written. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, the good Lord pardon everyone that prepares his heart to seek God and the Lord God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. You can get your promises that weekend. Maybe you haven't, you don't feel you've prepared enough, and maybe you're hearing this this CD 2 weeks from now. I don't care. God will still meet your need. God, the offer of his promises are still there. He set the table before you. Eat to the full. Come and take the time. Seek the Lord with whatever time is left. Seek the Lord, and you'll see these great things come to pass. If you seek the Lord, you'll be found of him, the scriptures tell us. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open. He is seeking you. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro over the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. It doesn't mean your life has to be perfect. If your heart is perfect toward him, you are seeking the Lord, those promises will come to pass. He'll be strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect for the Lord. Let us be found in him, and he will be found of us. Bless your hearts.